wanted to ask you about the Lockheed, just going way back. We had the February 68 conciliation agreement. Can you hear me all right?
Sure.
Okay. And then we had agreed to do a whole lot of things, and then we have a 12-month report.
Right.
And then we flew a bunch of guys up to
Washington.
And that worked out great, as I recall.
They
were very impressed.
A real good meeting. It worked out fine. If you recall, decided we would be assertive instead of responsive. We would tell them how good we were.
Well, we did. I think that's Lockheed's history. Once they started investigating us, we were just not as bad as the complaints pictured us.
That's right.
And that started off in the 50s and right on.
Exactly.
I'm trying to recall who went with us. I remember Bill Elkins went.
Well, Kreischer was there.
Was Tom?
I think he was.
Okay.
Someone was there from employment.
Would that have been Bill Dorfus?
It was Bill. It was Bill. But for some reason, when I said Thrasher, it didn't ring right.
Yeah. Somebody training.
I can almost visualize the dinner that we went to and with everybody there. Let's see.
Was that with the conciliator who went to his house?
Right, exactly.
Ken Holbert?
Ken Holbert's home, yeah.
Yeah, we went to his home.
To his home, and then he took us to his favorite restaurant out in a part of town that had been burned, you recall.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's see, there had to be somebody from training. I don't have a memory of it being Bob Hudson.
And I don't think it was Dick Agajanian.
No, it wasn't Dick. Aggie could probably tell me, because he was there then.
But
he wasn't in that loop. We had a flip chart and
we had slides too.
Slides.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether we had a video or not.
I don't think we had a video.
And Bill Elkins, he came. He did a good job, and he was very credible.
And I don't know why I'm drawing blanks on that, but.
I think there were about six or seven of us that flew up on the small country plane.
I don't remember it being six. It seems to me it was more like you and me and two others.
Okay.
Maybe three, but I don't. It seems like to me that Dr. Schenkel was with us.
Well, that could very well be.
Pretty sure he was.
Kid died last year, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's quite a memorial they had in the paper.
Yeah, it was. They had the auction of his personal gear.
Yeah.
That's something. I had never met his wife. Going way back. Well, you don't want to get into any sidetracks, so I won't take you down that track.
Well, anyway,
I believe Ken was there. Pretty sure Dorn was.
I think it was somebody from training. You know, I'm in touch with Bob Hudson, and I'm going to go up and do a taped interview with him.
Well, what's running through my mind? It seemed like to me Charlie Storm was with us.
Well,
and yet. That's kind of a weak recollection. It doesn't quite fit.
I don't think that. I think so. It was a training guy, and I can't remember those guys' names.
Madison was there, and Lyden, I think.
Right.
And I was there for some reason, but not as an active participant. I had provided some information and was just present. And I can't remember. Let me think.
Well, you know, there was a span of time there was a lot of things happening because the award was on March the 6th.
Yeah.
The executive order 10925 was March the 6th, and then March the 13th, exactly 1 week later, became the award. And then the black employees wrote these handwritten complaints and
right.
went to Washington, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And they came down and did an inspection of the plant.
Yeah.
And Trotman got into this thing because he was on the president's committee for EEO, chaired by Johnson.
Right.
Was created by 10925. So this was a pioneering effort for everybody.
Well, yeah, it was initial, so they initial everything.
Joe Cruz ended up being living on Trotman's property on West Wesley Road in a guest house for a year. And the two of them worked in conjunction with the president's office to sign up 104 companies to Plans for Progress.
Right.
So he was...
the actually first published plan was Lockheed.
Oh, yeah. And they used that as a model.
Yeah.
This is a big part of my story. But I have a vague recollection of Trotman, but not much. Lyden, was Lyden on the coast then, or was he... Was Madison the director of 61?
My recollection is Madison was director.
Lyden was in the corporate office.
Lyden was in the corporate office, yeah.
Of course he came.
Let me stop and think. Well, I can tell you, because Madison and I left, Madison and I left GLAC the same day. He went to Washington, I went to the coast.
Well, that'd be 66.
Yeah. And
he spent a year in 1966.
And he was... Madison was there, and Lyden was on the coast.
In 61.
Yeah.
That's what I recall. And I've got transcripts from the Kennedy Library. They're absolutely fun, fantastic. Be like a fly on the wall, and these guys are all talking about the Lockheed situation, and how did Plans for Progress start? And this guy from Lockheed, and this way it reads, we said to him, "Why don't you integrate your plant in California? Why can't you do that in Georgia?"
Yeah.
And this guy from Lockheed spoke up, and it's got to be Lyden. And he said, "Well, we just have some to make that kind of progress. We'd certainly have to have a plan." That's exactly in this transcript, that's a turning point in history right there. That was Jim Lyden.
Yeah.
And of course, what slowed them down is when they came down and they saw all that stuff that all of us had put together.
Yeah.
They said, you know, this is not as bad. They wanted to, John Field, who was the chairman of the executive of the President's Committee, and several others wanted to rescind the contract, rebid it.
Yeah.
But then we came down and saw how much we'd done. We were the leader in the South. And so then Lyden spoke up, and that became the solution. That broke the stalemate.
Somehow or another, I have in the back of my mind that the eminence, the impetus for the plan was laid directly on Robert Cortlandt, that he was responsible.
He signed it.
Huh? I know he signed it, but I mean, there's something in the back of my mind that I'm not trying to distract from Lyden's role, because Lyden was pivotal in the whole thing.
Well, it's not mentioned in this whole thing.
Lyden.
I know what you're saying. Of course,
some recollection that it came down in some sort of draft form from the corporate office for some work. And that I remember seems like to me the group was together. We had a Norm Shipley. No, I'm getting that confused with the strike. You remember we had a group similar to the Plans for Progress group for the strike. So I'm getting that confused. But it seems to me that we had a group meeting to sit down and read that.
Well,
commentary.
I've got a speech that Howard Lockwood made, and incidentally, I'm in touch with Howard. He sent me a package here, but it must have weighed 10 pounds.
Yeah, he told me such and such. He cleaned out his trunk.
Yeah,
all to you.
And his wife, what's her name?
Tammy.
Tammy. Boy, she was so happy. But anyway, in one of his speeches, he recounts all the things that are in the qualifications of all blacks on the payroll, and setting up some recruitment into the black community and things like that. The truth of the matter is, it was just a pretty simple affirmative action plan.
My recollection, it was no he typed pages and a half.
I'll get it eventually because Joe's got it. Shockers like you find today.
It was the language was, I thought, beautiful.
Oh, it was, yes.
I mean, it was almost poetic.
Yeah.
You ought to be, you know, public relations ought to be able to pull it up because they published that,
a
special public relations document to all employees.
I'm sure that's available. Yeah. Somewhere in the plant right now. I'm not touching that until the strike is over and everything, but I plan to go and meet with Lee Bryant, and then before I go to corporate, I think Terry Powell's still the VP HR. I'm so lost touch on that, but that's all part of my agenda there. Affirmative action, that was the first executive order that had the word affirmative action in it. And that was a creation, according to the documents that I have of Hobart Taylor. Now, he was another principal in this thing. He came in there, too.
There's a link in terms of verbalization and concept back to the National Association of Manufacturers. That was when Howard was in Washington, not with the National Association of Manufacturers, but you remember, we put together, and you and I did some work on it, an affirmative action program for the National Association of Manufacturers, long before affirmative action was a program, a government program, and it was it became the outline of the I'm going to say executive order, but I don't think I mean that. What's the term that the Labor Department used for its orders? It became the marching orders for the OFCCP.
Right, well, the OFCCP came in later.
Yeah, I understand.
They were about 64, somewhere in there.
There's a convergence of some sort, either to or from. Right now, I can't be certain,
yeah.
But there's an association in my mind between the original NAM document for guidance to manufacturers before the executive order that in it. And,
yeah, there might be something to that.
It's a heck of a document.
Joe Cruz has some memory of something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what it read just exactly like the directive that the OFCCP operated under. I can't even think of the name of it now, the one that was our Bible for so many years.
Arthur Goldberg is, according to the documents I have, was the principal person to draft the 10925. And that does have the word affirmative action in it.
And it follows almost paragraph by paragraph the original NAM document.
Well, I thought the NAM was opposed to the Civil Rights Act.
Well, I think it was law, but
that was later.
Pretty sure that
it was later. But you think this came out of that we were involved in that?
Yeah, we were. We provided staff support for that. And it was principally a Lockheed document, as I recall.
Well, let's see.
I remember the first. It just kind of darts in and out. I think I got it. It's kind of like.
You know, I contacted the NAM and asked them.
Yeah.
Steinbrugge.
You know, I wrote. During the time when I last did a little current work on this, I wrote them, the NAM, and actually asked them for to try to get to somebody that could tell me something about the origin of it, and I didn't get a response from them because I didn't.
Well, our original contact was Steinbrugge, and I've still got his telephone number. Jim, I'm going to have to break off.
Okay.